let's see where we got up to here. Bav Metzia on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. And we were discussing the suffix of Rab Zera yesterday. The case was that Reuven and Shimon are standing in front of Beis Din. Shimon is holding on to a talis, and Reuven actually grabs onto the talis in the presence of Beis Din, and Shimon says nothing. Normally we have a principle called shtika koda, which means that if you say nothing, that's a confession, that's an admission that the money is not yours, it belongs to someone else. And if we apply that principle here, says Reb Zera, then we would say that the fact that he was shosek means that he doesn't own the talis. Otherwise he should have been yelling and screaming. Reb Zera offers another possibility, in which he says, well, you know why he was silent? Because it happened in the presence of Beis Din. And Shimon anticipated that Beis Din would set the record straight. They're not going to tolerate this kind of hanky-panky where you grab onto someone's talis. And therefore he was shosek. Now he's yelling and screaming, and he's complaining about the fact that this fellow grabbed the talis, and he's a no good thief. So how do we understand this, says Reb Zera? On the one hand, originally, stage one, he was shosek and shtika koda. On the other hand, now he's yelling and screaming, and he gives us a very good, or shall we say, a plausible explanation as to why he was quiet initially. He was silent because he relied upon Beis Din. So what we're up to today is Amar Rav Nachman. So let's see if we can find the place on Daf Vav Amud Aleph.
Toshma.
And Amar Rav Nachman Toshma. You have it?
Yeah.
I would say it's about, I don't know, two-thirds down the page. Now Rav Nachman is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa is commenting on the Mishnah of Shnayim Oksim B'Talis, the Mishnah Paskins Yachloku B'Shvua, and the Braisa adds the following restriction or qualification. B'medvar Mamurim, when does the Mishnah apply and the Din is Yachloku? That's only in a case of Shneim Adukim Ba. No, they're not holding on to part of the talis, meaning at the ends of the strings of the talis, but rather adukim ba. They're really holding on to the main part of the talis. This one is holding on to half, and this one is holding on to the other half. Aval haisa talis yotzeis mitachas yado shel echad mihem. If let's say the talis was in the possession of one of them, then the law would not be achloku, but amotzi mechavero all of araya. So if Shimon is now holding on to the talis and Reuven is not holding on to the talis, then the burden of proof now is on Reuven to prove that it's his. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Domi, what exactly is going on here? Ine mekirik tani, if you take this braisa literally, surface level interpretation, and it means that they came into Beis Din and one person is holding the talis, and the other one is claiming that it's his, but he doesn't have any tfisa, is pshita. I mean, what is this braisa adding to me that I wouldn't have known otherwise? We have a principle called Amotzi Mechal V'Araya. And if Reuven is, and if Shimon is holding on to the talis, and Reuven is claiming, well, it's mine, Reuven has no leg to stand on. He has no evidence to adduce. And not only that, he's not muchzak at all. The tfisa is that of Shimon. So for sure we're going to apply the principle of Motzi Mechavel Avarai. So in order to make some sort of chidush, a new insight in this price, the Gemara says, Ela shetokfa echad bifaneinu. It must be a case where Reuven grabs onto the talus and rips it out of the hands of Shimon, bifaneinu, in the presence of Beis Din. And again, once again, you'll ask the question, well, if he ripped out the talis, then that's just an act of gzela. What difference does it make if Shimon is holding on to the talis, or if we witness Reuven ripping the talis out of the hands of Shimon? It's all the same. The answer is, it must be the case of Rabbi Zera, where Shimon was absolutely silent when Reuven grabbed the talis out of his hand, but later on he starts yelling and screaming. And he says that the reason I was quiet initially is because I depended upon Beznin. And now we read the Braisa as saying that Aval Hoysa Talis Yotzis Mitachas Yodosh Alechemim, which means that we saw Reuven grab the Talis from Shimon, and now Reuven has the Tfisa, then the burden of proof now shifts over to Shimon. Because when they walked into Beznin and Shimon was holding on to the Talis, we would have assumed that the burden of proof is on Reuven. But now what we're saying is that things changed, because during the time that they were standing in Bezdin, Reuven grabbed onto the talus in the presence of Bezdin. And the chiddush of the Braisa is that now we turn to Shimon and we say, I'm sorry, buddy. Hamotzi michavero olav haraya. And why is this? Because you, Shimon, were shoseik. You didn't say a word when he took it from you. And that constitutes a hodah. So we're not going to accept Shimon's reinterpretation of the hodah that he was relying on Beis Din, but rather we're going to accept his shtika kodah as is, and then Reuven becomes the muchzak. And if Shimon wants to prove that he was never moda, or that this talus belongs to him, he's going to have to induce witnesses, Hamotzi v'chavelo v'raya. And that would answer Abzeri's question. Because exactly the exact scenario of Rabbi Zera is the subject of this price. Because otherwise, if there was no takfa echad b'faneinu, then what's the chiddush of the brisa? For sure, Shimon comes in, he's muchzor. Reuven claims it's his talus. It's Hamotzi v'chavelo v'raya. Lo, the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa is in no way addressing the case of Rabbi Zera. But rather, Elohochma askinon, what's the case of the Braisa? The Asu Lekamon Kidetfisu Echavayim. When they first came into Bezdin, they were both holding on to the talis. Biamrina Lehu Zil Plogu. And at this point, since they're both holding on to the talus, we paskin for them that they have to divide the talus. Let them sell the talus and divide its money. And at this point, there's no shvua. Why? Because each one is mochel the other one on his half. Fine. Now, nafku. They walk out of Bezdin. V'hadarasu, they come back into Bezdin. Very strange. They got a psak of Yachloku, they left Bezdin, and now they come back into Bezdin. But there's a difference. V'hadarasu ki tofes luchad minay. Now what happens is one of the two is holding on to the talus. So initially they were both holding on to the talus equally. Now only one of them is holding on to the talus. Hi, Omar, one of them says, this is the Tofes, Iduye Odili. When we went out of Bezdin, he did tshuva, and he admitted that it's mine, and that's why I'm holding on to it, because he gave it to me. Fahai, Omar, but the other Baldover says, Bidami Agarti Niale. I gave you rental money, and that's why I'm holding on to it. Not because I was moda that it belongs to you, the way you said it, but rather, I claim that I rented it from you. Bidami agarti niale. Do you imagine what we're trying to figure out is what happened outside of Bezdin? In the 2 minutes that the Dayanim, you know, those who have made up the court, they couldn't see what was going on. And you can imagine two possible scenarios, and each one is claiming that scenario. One is claiming that when we left Bezdin, Shimon was molded to me that it's my talus. And the other one claims nothing of the sort happened. I didn't admit that it belongs to him, but rather I paid him rental fees. Right, we have to know. Let's give him names. We'll give him names. So again, Reuven is now holding on to the talus when they get back in. So Reuven claims that Shimon admitted that it's his talus. Now, what's Shimon's claim? Oh, Shimon is claiming Bidami Agarti Niole. The reason why he's holding on to it is because I rented the talus to him. Right. And he's going to pay me rental fees.
And it's still mine.
But it's still my talus. Excellent. So again, according to Shimon's claim, there was no hodah when I let him have the talus. I gave him the talus because he's going to pay rental fees.
But the Dayanim have made a decision, haven't they? Before anything happens outside.
Before they decided Yachloku, but now there's a whole new Bezdin, so to speak, a whole new Diyun, because now Reuven comes back into Bezdin with Shimon trailing behind him, and Reuven's holding on to the talus.
That's really,
and Reuven's claiming that he was Moda Al Emes. Shimon is saying, I rented him the talus. The Arina Le, we say to him, Ad Hashta Chashada Tele Begazlan, Vashta Mogris Le Belosadi. 5 minutes ago, you were claiming that he stole this talus from you. The talus is yours. And now you go in and you trust him, you give him back the talus, and you trust him to admit that he rented the talus from you. So therefore, we don't accept this counter argument of Shimon. It's Baba Maisa, what Shimon is saying. And that's why the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, the Braisa says that we don't believe Shimon in his claim that he rented the talus to Reuven, because 5 minutes ago he was yelling and screaming that Reuven is a no good thief. Ad hashto chashad tolei begazlan hashto mogris lei below Sadi, has nothing to do with Rav Zeira's suffolk. Rav Zeira's suffolk was that there was a shtika when it was grabbed on in front of Bezdin. No, the grabbing on took place outside of Bezdin. And now the question is how to interpret this. How is it that Reuven has the talus? One way is to say, as Reuven would be very happy to say, is that Shimon was Moda. The other way to say it is that no, that Shimon rented the talus back to Reuven. So Gemara says, what do you mean? You called him a no-good thief and now you rented it to him? Ibois Ema. Now the Gemara offers another teretz. And what is that? Gemara says that Kiritani. Let's go back to the simple reading of this braisa. Asu lekaman ki tofes luchavaya. They both showed up in Bezdin and they're both grabbing onto it. I'm sorry. Asu lekaman ki tofes luchad minayhu. Is that the lush in the braisa that we have? Just 1 second. Shnaim adukim ba. I will hoist it up. And we interpret it as that on the second round, one of them was holding on to it. No, now we're going to say on the first round, one of them is holding on to it. And that's how they came into Bezdin. The second one is just holding on to part of the talus. He's trying like, he's trying to grab on to something, you know what I mean? So he holds on with a loose connection to the talus. And the Bryce wants to tell us that in such a case, that's not called a tfisa, that's not called an achiza, and the talus is in the chazok of the first one. The second one now is Hamotzi Mechalel Varaya. So this is called Misrach Bei Sruche. He doesn't really have a firm tight grasp on the talus that we can say that he's also ochas in betalus. He's only in a misrach beis ruche situation. Yeah, feel sumchus the Omar Moman Amuto Besafek Cholkin below Shvua. Modusumchus the Sirchalav Klum. Now, this piece of Gemara here is very challenging because what we have here is Maman Hamutal Besafek. We really don't know who's telling the truth. And what Sumchus's opinion is that whenever you don't know who's telling the truth about claims and counterclaims in Mammon, then you say Yachloku. You don't say Amotzi Mechavela Varaya. Everyone gets half. So Lechora, you know, Sumchus pushes the agenda of Yachloku, and any time there's a suffix, he even drops the Shmua. Because he's so excited about Yachloku, he thinks that that's the right way to go. So you might have applied Sumchus's rule here even in our case. Why? Because they're both claiming the talus is theirs. We don't know who's telling the truth. And not only that, each one has, to some extent, has a tfisa on the talus. So the Gemara says, nein. Sumchus would be moda here that sircha lav klumu. When you are just trying to grab in, you know, you're sneaking in your hand somewhere in order to grab a little bit of the talus, that's not considered tfisa. If it's not a tfisa, then that's not considered moment amutu b'safek. For example, if let's say I would claim that you owe me $1,000 and you deny the claim, and I have no proof to that effect. So Sumchus would agree that in such a case, I can't come to you and say, well, the sweater you're wearing is my sweater, and therefore Yachlok. No. Sumchus agrees that there has to be some objective suffix over here. And the question is sircha, whether sircha qualifies as an objective suffix to generate some sort of tfisa, make it into moment amutu b'suffix. And that's the chiddush of this brisa, that brisa wants to say that sircha lav klumi, and therefore even Sumchus would agree that in this case hamotzi mechaveru olav araya. And sircha lav klumu means that there's no achiza, and there's no tfisa, and there's nothing to generate the status of Maman Amuto B'Safek. Maman Amuto B'Safek would only apply in the case of Shnayim Ochzim B'Talos, where each one has a full-fledged achiza, and there's no question about the validity of each tfisa. Then we're going to split it. Sumchus without a Shmua, the Chacham with a Shmua. But in the case where one person is clearly the Ochez and the other one is just a Sirche Be Sircha, even Sumchus would agree that Sircha Lav Klumi, that's not what we mean by Achiza, and therefore Motzi Mechaveh Lav Araya. Now, what would be, this is one of the most famous sugyas in the first Perek B'Metzia, in a case of Shnai Mochsu B'Talis, if one of them would be Magdish the Talis. And he says, Hare Talizu Hegdish. Problem is, he's only holding on to half of the Talis. Imtim Tzolomar. If you want to say that we can clarify or determine the suffix of Rabbi Zera in the following case, Kasher, it's Tokfa Echad Bifanenu, Motziyan Oso Miyada. In other words, when a person grabs onto the talis in front of Bezdin, that's meaningless. That's not called an achiza, that's not called a tkifa, because it happened in the presence of Bezdin. Now we get to the case of Hikdisha. Is Eina Mekudeshes. What happens if instead of grabbing on to half the talis, he was Magdish the talis? would that be a valid chaloshem hegdish? Right, we have a principle in hegdish that amirasal gavok and misirasal edge, and all you have to do is make a declaration, and then the hegdish is automatically chal. So he made a declaration that he wants to be magdish to talis. He's ain of a kudeshes. Why? Because he doesn't have a tkifa. Because one second, are they both holding on? Just one second. I'm not sure. We have to figure out here exactly what the scenario is. It says Tokvech of Fanenu, that's one case, and then we have Tigdisha. So he didn't grab on to the talis, he was magdish the talis. Is Eino Mekudeshes. There's no chalos hegdish. It's not considered a tekifa. No, he wasn't. In Bimitzias, he wasn't tokev. And you might think that if he was magdishit, the hegdish should be chal. Is eino mekudeshes. There's no chalos shame hegdish. And he writes here the following. I'm just going to read to you what it says here. Ein koach ha-hegdesh gadol mikoach tkifa. Meaning, to the same extent that we said that tokfa is not meaningful, and motzino so miyado, so too hegdesho is no better than tokfa, and it doesn't have a koach.
Because he doesn't, we're not sure he owns it at the point.
Right, he hasn't proven anything about his ownership. So it means that if Tokfa Echad Bifaneinu Motzino Somiyado, which was one side in Rabbi Zeira's Safek, is then we're going to apply the same rule in Hikdisho. But Imtun Tzalom Etokha Efenenu Ein Motzino Somiyado. Now I don't know what's the deal in Hikdisho. Hikdisho Belot Kof Belot Shetokfa Ma'o Adin. Now apparently the Gemara is now arguing that somehow Hekdisha is greater than Tokfa. Kevan diomar mar ami rossel gavol kemisi rossel hejo dummy. So once you make an amira, it's as if you did a kinyan. It's commanded kofa dummy. O dilma hashta mias lo tkofa. Ksivi ishki yaktish is beso kodesh ma beso bershuso afkol bershuso afuki hai dela bershuso. So the Gemara now vacillates in the imtim tzolomar, and the Gemara questions whether the equation, the analogy between hikdisha and tokfa is accurate. It could be that Hekdisha is superior to Tkofa. Why? Because Misiroso Kimisiroso Lehejo Dami. And why would that be any better than Tkifa? He's assuming now that Tkifa is valid. Ein motzino somiyado. Imtim tzoloma tkofa fanenu ein motzino somiyado. I think he means because of the shtika of the other baldin. is therefore, shall we say, that Hikdisha is just as good. So what's Omer Mara Mirosal Yishun? And therefore what? You don't need any other kinyanim to be Magdish a Talis. Like a Maisa Kinyan. And if it's a Maisa Kinyan, it's a substitute for a Maisa Kinyan. So it's Kitkafa Dami. Takfa Dami. Now again, the Kimanda Takfa Dami, I think, indicates that this is not an accurate or a foolproof analogy. Because in one case he physically grabs on to the talis, and the other one was shosei. And here, he doesn't grab on to the talis, but it's as if he grabbed on to the talis. Why? Because kimisiroso le hejot. In other words, since I'll eat in, it's as if I took this object and I gave it over to the Gizbar. Kimisiroso, it's as if I actually gave it over to the Gizbar. Now the Gizbar has possession. Again, I don't mean the Gizbar, I mean the Hegdish. The Gizbar is representing. So that itself is like Tokfa. That itself is like Tokfa. I'm not sure if the Gemara is operating with some sort of conceptual analogy, or the Gemara means that he should have made a mecha and he didn't make a mecha. Oh, Dilma hashta mia holo takfa. Just words. Air. He said, I raise that hegdish, but he doesn't have any possession over it. Uksiv v'ish ki yagdish es beso kodesh. And here it's not considered beso. Now why isn't it considered beso? Because Yenom is holding on to it. So the Pasuk now is saying that you need to have an object for Shuscha in order to be Magdish. If it's somebody else is holding on to it, claiming that it's his, then you don't have Rishus over that object. And he doesn't have physical possession of the talis, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to be makdish it. It's funny because the two tzadim seem to be a little bit out of orientation. That they're not. The first side is to say that, since I'll be did, it's as if I took this object and I gave it to Hegdesh, that's called Kemisiroso, is therefore, if you hold that Tokfa is Ein Motzi and Biyodah, then the same thing should apply in Hegdisha. But now the Gemara goes through the second side. What does it say in the second side? That he can't be Magdishit, because it's not Pershuso. Very odd. The two tzadim are not really talking to each other. There's no valid dialogue. I mean, the first side of the Gemara says that he did a very profound, you know, that speech here and uttering the words Harei Zegdish is a lot more profound than it's Kibbisiroso. It's as if he gave it over to Hegdish, which means he was Tokev. And the second side says you don't even have the ability to be Magdish. In other words, the second side drops the ball on the question of, is there an analogy between Tokev and Magdish? Forget about that. I have a more fundamental issue here. Can you be Magdish? Let me just read to you a note here, which is based on Tosis Dibra Masel Hikdisha, which is towards the bottom of Vavam and Aleph. He says that Midubar, what's the case here? Sheshasak ulubesof tzavach. So if I understand correctly, what he means is that Reuven went ahead and he was magdish it, and Shimon said nothing. Later on, Shimon starts yelling and screaming, how could he be magdish it? Hasafik hu beumden dato. Not sure what he means when he says Hasafik hu beumden dato. Ma shedona gemar lomashik disho hegdesh. The ains and echshav ainu bershuso. Hainu mishum. Shebamesha hoda reuke omed. Hachefetz loshuv lebailo. All right. And thanks for your patience. So I want to just go over this last piece here, based on Tosfos Divrei Ma'aseh Hekdisha, that again, it's a case of Shasach Ulbesof Tzavach. And again, he says it's a Sofik Ba'umdin Daito. So we don't know what to do with his Shtika. Is his Shtika Kodar, is it not? Mashadona Gemara Loma Shekdisho Hegdesh Vienza Nechshavenu Bershuso Mishum Shebamesha Hoda Reuka Omeda Chefetz Loshuv Lebailov Viad Oz Hareuka Pikodon Shieshlo Biad Acherim Shiachulak Disho. So it's a very Lumdisha kind of simultaneity or Gito Vyodabon Ka'achas Svar over here. In other words, he has one side to say that the, let's call him Reuven, when he was magdish, that Hegdesh is valid. It proves that it's his. Now the Gemara's other side say, how could it be magdish if it's not beso? But the answer is that the first side of the Gemara thinks that if we accept the umdana, that the other guy, let's call him Shimon Shtika, is a hodah, then the Mela, the Hegdesh, is considered beso. Why? Because since Shimon is Moda, it's almost as if the object is about to be returned to Reuven. So again, Reuven's not holding on to it, because again, we're talking about a case of Hegdisha below Tokfa. And if it's below Tokfa Lechora, the Hegdish is meaningless because it's not Beso. So Tosfos says, no, it's considered Beso. Why? Even if he's not holding on to it, Reuven, let's say Shimon's holding on to it, but since Shimon was Shosek and Shtika Koda Dami, it means that Shimon is simply a Shomer, he's like a Nifkad, he's holding on to this object as a Pikadon, and you could be Magdish, an object, when it's a Pikadon, Biad Acherim, that's also called Beso. This really reflects a principle that we've mentioned many times, Yad Shomer Ki Yad Balabayas. So if you're watching something on my behalf, it's considered as if you're the extension of my Rishus, and I can be Magdashin, even though I don't have it physically in my Rishus, because I'll be din, it's like my Rishus, you're holding on to it on my behalf. If we hold that Shtika Kodada, based on the Umdana, that Shimon was Shosek when Reuven was Magdashin, then Reuven's Hegdesh is considered valid Beso, because now Shimon is, by his own admission, is nothing more then a Shomer is holding on to the object on behalf of its owner. Now again, if this whole Sufik is a Sufik Ba'umdin Das, as we don't know what Shimon means or what's the meaning of his Shtika, whether or not it's considered a Hodah, then if, let's say, assume on one side that there is no umdana, meaning that the shtika, the nitkaf of Shmuel doesn't really prove a thing, is then we understand very well why the hegdish is not chal. Why? Because if the nitkaf is still insisting that it's his, he's not holding it on to the object on behalf of the tokev, meaning the Magdish, the Reuven, but rather he's holding on to it on behalf of himself, claiming that's his, and his shtika is no proof that it's not his, or it's not an odah, then we understand very well why Reuven's Hegdish is not is not valid because we require beso and we don't have beso. Now in the footnote here he quotes a Truma Sakri, and he says the following, that Hasofek hu gam al achetzi shemagia lo midin yachloku. Ah, this is interesting because we're talking about a din of yachloku. Now it could be that based on yachloku, each one, Reuven and Shimon, has rights to half the talis. So if Shimon shtika is not a hodah, then even that half of the talis that we designate and award to Reuven is no longer cannot become hegdish. Notice, you might say, well, mimanafshach, since we're going to say yachloku, at least let the hegdish be chal on half the talis. But the answer is no. There's no hegdish even on half the talis, because since there's no hodah, it becomes something called mechusar gvia. In other words, Beis Din still hasn't actually implemented the chalukas atalis in such a way that Reuven has half the talis in his possession, and therefore it's not considered beso. Okay, let's just see if we can get akdoma to the next sugya of Toshma. Let's just take a Toshma. Dehahi mesuta. This is a Beis HaMerchatz. So we're talking now about karka. Davamansi alei Beit Treis. The two litigants are fighting over, each one's claiming ownership over this piece of property. Happens to be a Beis HaMerchatz. Hai Omer Didihi. Hai Omer Didi. Each one is claiming. So kom chad minai v'yaktisha. One of them stands up and he's Magdish the Beis HaMerchatz. Parshu minei Rav Chananya Rav Oshia v'kula Rabbanan. In other words, they didn't want to use this Beis HaMerchatz because maybe it belongs to this individual. We don't know the two people fighting over it, but at least one of them, who's claiming it's his, was Magdish. So there's at least a 50% chance that the Hegdish is valid. And if that be the case, you're not allowed to take a bath in a Hegdish, in a Beis HaMerchatz that belongs to Hegdish. That would be Me'ilah. The Amalei Rav Oshia L'Rabba Ki Azlis Kamei the Rav Chizda L'Kafri. Next time you're available and you can ask a question to Rav Chizda, is Boy Minei, ask him what's the status of this Masuta, this Beis HaMerchatz. Can we or can we not use the Beis HaMerchatz? Kiyos. So when Rabba comes to Surah on his way to Kafri, Omalei Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna turns to Rabba and he says to Masnisen he, I'm going to prove it from the Mishnah of Sofek Bechor. Because in the Mishnah of Sofek Bechor, we're going to have, again, a similar kind of situation where one of them, although they're both claiming ownership in this Bechor, one of them went ahead and claimed that it was a Bechor and therefore generated an Isur, Toni Alei Asur Begizav Avoda. So we have a Sofek Bechor, it's also Begizav Avoda. And here also, since one of them was Magdish, the Masuta, and even though we don't know for sure if it's his, we have to treat it L'chumra with the Isur Hegdish. Similar to the case of someone who had a Sofik Bechor, and the issue is whether it's also Begizah V'Avod. So Mirz Hashem, this will pick up next week. A famous case of Tokfa Kohen.